This is CliffCentral.com.
A very good morning to everyone that is tuned into the Unplugged and In Charge Radio Show. My name is Bo Kuzi. Welcome again. It's another week that is full and jam-packed, and I look forward to be spending you guys for the next hour. It is a great pleasure to be doing the last show in 2018. It's been such a great year. It's been a very interesting year. A lot of learned, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of lessons learned, a lot of things went wrong. You pick up yourself, you continue. And there's a couple of things that are noted, we're in the festive season. It's a great time. Everybody's enjoying. Everybody's having a good time with their families. It's a family time as we reflect back into the year. As we know that the Unplugged and In Charge Radio Show, it does focus on young people that are hustling, that are pushing, that are making sure that they reach their ultimate goals and they reach for that success. And we always make sure that we bring you guys a very interesting show whereby you guys enjoy and you get information and inspiration from people that are doing great things out there. Today I have a very interesting show. We have great guests that are really doing great things. I've got two individuals that are within the architectural space. They go by the name as Lebo and Harris. They're going to be sharing their journey. They actually own an architectural firm, which is very, very interesting. They're young people that are doing some really, really great things. And along with them, I've got Jane Tabete, who is a musician. So today's show is actually balanced. It's got a bit of, some corporate stuff, business stuff that you might want to hear. And it's got some music because we also have Young DLC, another individual, a young man that lives in Pretoria, who's a producer who's doing some really, really, really awesome work. He's working side by side with some of Africa's great artists. He's going to be sharing his journey as a very young person who's within his early 20s, and he's really, really doing some great work. Working side by side with some even European based artists, and he's really, really, really making those moves. But something that I just want to share before I delve deeper into the show, as I introduce the show to you guys, I've had a really great week so far, and I was actually reflecting on a quote that I came across during this week, which says, "The road to the top is better than the top. Don't be in such a hurry that you don't enjoy the ride." I will say it again. It says the road to the top is better than the top. Don't be in such a hurry that you don't enjoy the ride. I found this very powerful, and as I was just chilling and I read it and I was just reflecting on the impact and the depth of this quote, I looked at my journey. We all want to reach that top. We all want to be successful in whatever that we do. We all want to see ourselves amongst the best. And even when you are amongst the best, they will tell you that, it is even harder to maintain your position amongst the best. So if you have not reached your pinnacle, you have not reached your ultimate goal, it is just note this quote that you must enjoy the ride to the top. No matter how hard things might be, things might take time. And I really believe that good things do take time. And the longer it takes, I believe that when you get to the top, you will really appreciate what you will get, because I don't believe on overnight things. I don't believe in things that just happen. You already got what you want, or you are where you are. Look, I'm not saying that some people, it's wrong for some people to really make it to the top very quickly, but I believe that there's a lot of lessons that prepare you, that when you get to the top, you will know how to handle yourself. Because most of the time, there will be certain areas that you're going to be reckless and you won't be appreciative of where you are. But then again, this is just some of a quote that I just noted that really spoke to myself as I really work hard to get to where I need to be. And I'm really thankful to God. The journey has been great. I've learned so much. I'm in love with radio. I'm in love with broadcasting. I think it's opened such a world for me to learn so many things, to come across many, many people. Some of the people that I've come across are my role models within the industry of broadcasting, and it's been so great. It's been so great to be within Cliff Central, to learn within online platform, different ways of content creation. And I really believe that we're such a unique platform. It's been so great to learn so much, and I really do feel that I've grown so much within this space. And as I endeavor into other areas and spaces of hustling, hey man, it's still a journey. But That's something that I just wanted to share. I think I'm going to go straight into our interviewees who are with me in studio. It's so great, man. You know, when I'm amongst young people that are really pushing the bar, you know, and you feel the presence itself, it just tells you. If I would be able to actually have a camera in studio and show you guys that are listening, you know, the way that guys are dressed up. I mean, I'm underdressed. I feel like I'm out of the space. But yeah, you're going to hear yourself what are the guys are all about. I've got Harris, I've got Lebo, I've got Jane in the studio. They're going to be sharing their journey. I'm going to start with my brother right on my left hand side, Harris. Harris, how are you doing, my brother?
How's it going, Chief?
I'm all right. Come closer to the mic.
Okay.
Yeah, welcome to the show. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, man, it's been quite a while. So yeah, I'm happy to be here, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
That's great. And I think on your right hand side you have your partner in crime. You know, everywhere you go, when you see Harris, you will see Lebo. It's like you guys are like twins. Yeah. You were meant to be in the same room at the same time, and except when you were given birth, you were supposed to just one after, you know, 1 second after the other.
Actually,
anyway,
actually weird you say that, because we always get people call us Lebs and Harris.
Oh, Lebs and Harris.
Lebs and Harris.
Really?
Yeah.
It's sort of a name that people just gave us. So we're always together, but not always.
Yeah.
Because you know when the other one is with the madam and all that and all those type of things, or with the family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. How are you doing, Lebo?
No, I'm doing good, man.
How are you, man? Well, welcome to the Unplugged and In Charge show.
Thank you very much.
It's a great pleasure to have you. And then on the far left hand side of Lebo, we have Jane. Good morning, Jane.
Morning.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm being told that you're the woman that has all the vocal cords and the notes at the right places, and you make people cry when you sing.
I try.
You
I
try.
I do try.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much, guys, for joining me on the show. I'm really looking forward to be spending the next hour with you guys. You know, we're a show that really tries to recognize young talent and young people that are really doing great and outstanding things out there. But I'm gonna start this side with Lebo and Harris. Lebo and Harris, you guys have been friends for quite some time, and you grew up together. And funny enough, you actually do not get a combo or a partnership of friends that grew up from a very young age and they end up going in business. Because a lot of people say that, you know, when you go in business with friends, it's never a good idea.
Yeah, true.
How did it come about with you guys? I mean, where did you guys grow up?
I don't know. Are you going to take this on or should I?
No, let me take it.
All right, sure.
We did not actually grow up together. I grew up in a different area from him. Then we just met through dancing. We were both dancers at some point, so we were just friends, people that knew each other at that point. Then it happened that I had to move to a different area, only to find out that this guy is also moving to that same area, and he's my neighbor at the same time. So we moved into the same area at the same time, whereas now we are neighbors. So that was the exciting part. Then obviously we got to hanging, you know, doing stuff together, and then we finally realized, no man, we need to get jobs.
Yeah.
And we need to find a way of getting this income.
Get the jobs right.
Get the jobs right.
Yeah.
So yeah, as the story moved on, you know, one of us got a job we could sustain each other, because we did so many things to a point whereby we'd literally share about $20 each between each other. So that's where the brotherhood grew from. You know, that's how it happened, that, you know what, whatever we do, we base it on each other, you know.
All right. Now, you're moving a bit quickly. I want to actually focus on the part whereby you guys moved to the same area and you guys were neighbors.
Yeah.
In terms of your childhood, what are some of the things that you guys shared together? You know,
thing is, when we moved in together, it was, I think, about 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
You know? So it just so happens that both our parents bought houses in the same neighborhood. Mm. You know, so obviously you get to like a new neighborhood, you don't know anyone, you know, and there's this one person that you know from the past, and you're like, yo, let's hang out, you know. Sure. What I mean, yeah. So that's pretty much how it all started. So we started hanging a lot. Would always like take walks, like, you know how guys are, you know, critique most houses in the neighborhood, be like, I'll do this. You know?
Yeah.
Little did we know that we're gonna end up taking this as like a career path, you know.
Sure.
So yeah, that's pretty much what happened.
And now, in terms of, there's a question that I wanted to ask. It just flew out of my mind.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, moving on. In terms of you guys being part of, you said you guys were dancers at some stage.
Yeah.
So before you guys got into this professional corporate world and office kind of work, you guys were out in the, you were the cool kids at some stage.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was just a matter of sharing the same stage, the same environment. We just knew the same people. So basically everyone knew each other. It was just a one whole Pretoria group thingy.
Sure.
So it just happened that me and him moved into the same neighborhood. We were neighbors. And then, yeah.
All right. And in terms of, was this, you guys were involved within hip-hop?
Yes. I was part of the Raps at the time. And he was part of a dance crew named Killswitch. So in most of our shows, I'd always bump into him, and he would always talk like, "Yo, what's up, man? You good? Yeah, whatever." So yeah, that's how we met within the dance thingy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's.
And were you guys hoping maybe to make a career out of it?
At some point, yeah, but everything just fell off. Because it was not too realistic in terms of how do you get cash out of this. Because as you grow up, you get to realize that.
But like speaking from, I was actually looking at making a career out of it. You know what I mean? Because I had got to a stage where I got paid to be on stage. I got paid to appear at events. So it kind of made sense. You know what I mean? But the consistency was not there. You know what I mean? So I had to leave and go start something on the side.
Yeah. Now, in terms of your parents, because I'm sure your parents, okay, it's cool.
Yeah.
What type of people were you? Were you the type of guys maybe within the commerce, study area, or were you guys that are,
I think we studied the same thing. But I ended up doing mechanical engineering.
Yeah. Sure.
He did civil.
Yeah.
So, but then everything just sort
came
of
together.
Came together in terms of what we're doing now.
Yeah.
So we're physics kids. Preparation.
Yeah. All right. So now you guys grew up together from childhood. Okay, moving into the same neighborhood. You went to the same school. Well, did you go to the same schools?
No.
Different schools.
Yeah.
But
different
sort
schools.
Of similar study.
Technical schools.
All right. Yeah. So then you were still friends then, and then you moved from being friends in high school, and then within tertiary, did you guys go to the same tertiary?
No. We
different tertiary still.
Yeah, we didn't go to the same.
But still kept in touch as friends.
Yeah, man. You know what's weird, man? Like, not that we used to talk like on a regular, it would go like maybe like 6 months without even talking, then I'd just bump into him,
Yeah.
So even like on the time when we moved in, I remember I was actually driving down my street, I was going to my mom's and I saw him, so I drove past him and I stopped, I reversed and I was like, "Yo, what are you doing here?" It's like, "I live in this house." I'm like, "I'm moving in here, so hey."
Yeah,
so we just always bumped into each other, I guess.
Cool. So you guys are studying, and now where did this journey of wanting to be in, where did the discussion and the conversation of you guys going to business start?
We ended up working for the same company, Cornered Architects, at some point. We had lost the job. Well, both of us went out of jobs, you know what I mean? So we sat down and we're like, okay, back to square one. Do we go and now, run the CV and do all of that, or do we create our own jobs, you know what I mean? Then we came to a conclusion that, we're going into business, so all the little money that we had, we put it together, and that was like 4 years ago, so that's where it all started, yeah.
This is, your story is so interesting, hey?
Yeah, it's weird.
You know, when you tell it, it's almost like you guys told each other, okay, you know what? When you go to the interview,
I know. Yeah, it sounds like
you
we lie.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everything is just so in sync.
Yeah.
It's like you guys, it's what obviously people normally say it within relationship context, destined to be.
It's weird, God's plan, man.
Yeah?
It's weird, yeah, it's weird. Because even on the day we lost our jobs, we lost them like in the same day, I remember. We got to work in the morning, I was with him, and the boss just called us like, "Yo, you too." And we're like, "What happens?" Like, "Yeah, I want you guys out of here." Now we're like, "Okay, what happened?" And yeah, we left, and this is where we are. But we actually called us, I think, was it early this year? And he apologized for, obviously mistreating us and all of that, hoping that we'd come back, but it was too late.
Now, in terms of you guys, your work journey, because I am aware that you guys obviously worked within the same company.
Yeah.
And this was also in relation with the type of business that you guys are
in. Yeah, yeah.
What are some of the tips and traits that you guys picked up, you know, in your duration and tenure of work together within that company?
I don't know.
Because I'm sure there's stuff that, I mean, that that helps you now, that you know you can be able to you know, say, look, it helped and it was of great use to be amongst that company that has inspired you to open your own business.
Yeah. I don't know. It's more of, you know, when you want to learn something, you are more determined, more passionate about it, regardless of the money and all that. It was just a matter of being determined, wanting to know what's this. The softwares, we had to teach ourselves the softwares, type of softwares, by books, get into depth in terms of the knowledge of our industry. You know, we did all that self-taught.
And I think also, like, paying more attention to detail, you know what I mean? Because our industry is one that you need to be... You can't be ignorant, you know what I mean? So you have to pay attention to, like, every little detail, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think that's what I learned. That was the biggest thing that I learned, you know what I mean? Because now, obviously, we run our own firm, you know what I mean? So you get to a point where now you have to have people that maybe report directly to you, you know what I mean? And if you miss, like, small details, then, bruh, like... thing it gets hit.
it goes bad
bad.
All right, cool, thank you so much. I think we're gonna return back to you guys, and I just want to be able to bring in the other guests onto the show, because we've got two other individuals that are within the music space. I mean, even the way that you guys are sitting, it's like you guys planned. We've got the musicians this side, we've got the architects this side.
It's a great thing
but we're gonna come back to you guys. But yeah, in the show I've got myself, again, as I said, I've got Jane Tabete and I've got Young DLC, and these are two individuals that are really doing great things within the music space, the media space, and you know, they see themselves as being amongst the best, best of the best musicians in the country, in the world, and in Africa. I'm gonna actually introduce. I'm just gonna bring in Young DLC into the mic just to introduce himself. How are you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. How's it going?
I'm great. I'm so honored to have you on the show. Thanks. Thank you so much for coming through.
It's all good, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, I've got Jane. Jane, how are you doing for the second time again?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Look, guys, I just want us. I mean, both of you guys to just share your experiences. I'm gonna start with Young DLC. Young DLC, you're very young.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're very deep into the production side of music and you're doing some great things. And, you know, it's not often that you come across young people, especially within our country. We see young musicians really making it and actually competing with some of the best, because I think within the music industry, young people have been undermined and looked down upon, and, you know, for a very long time. I think within the past, if not just under 9 or 8 years, we've seen a couple of great young talent, I mean, in the country, that is actually really amongst the best in the world right now. With yourself, where did this where is Young DLC from?
Young DLC is from Zimbabwe. I grew up there, that's where I was born. And I started making music because my dad is also a producer. So just from watching him, I started to pick up some things, and I would ask him everything about music. So he taught me, like, the basics. For me, it started off as a hobby, and then it just continued as a hobby. I didn't know you can get paid from it. And then people started paying me for it. And I'm like, you're paying me for my hobby. And then I just continued doing it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now tell me, have you always been like a computer game related kind of a kid? You know, because most of the time, you know, it's the kids that spend so much time with PC and technology that end up knowing such things very quickly and learn these things much earlier than the rest.
I mean, was one of those kids where my parents would actually have to shout at me to go play outside, because I would always be on some console in the house. So they would have to actually kick me out and say, yo, go out and play outside, because this is not normal anymore. So yeah, I guess that's how I got into, like, production space. So I don't mind spending my time alone with machines. That's literally my life.
That is so awesome. And then you see such traits within some of the international acts, even some of the local acts, and it's something that you know, parents really don't understand it at an early stage. They don't know that when you're sitting there and you're going through stuff, even if it's as easy as learning songs and lyrics and you're listening to the radio, there's something that sparks some kind of a talent.
Yeah.
And they only obviously realize later when you actually do this thing and they see the results in terms of it's really paying off and you're making money out of it. Now, with you, where did this professional, where you started doing the production in a sense of you actually see yourself, I'm actually working now?
I guess that will have to be in 2014 when I did the Zimbabwe Color Run Festival. Because my friend, he was doing it, and then they were looking for the theme song. So he obviously knew my music, and he was like, yo, we're looking for a theme song, which is sort of like the kind of music that you're making. So what do you think of trying it? Because I can pitch it for you. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I did the song, and then he pitched it, and then they loved it. So they used that as the official theme for that festival. And then they paid me for it. And me, I just thought like, ah, they just wanted the song to put on. Mm-hmm. And then now they're saying, oh, invoice us. And I'm like, what? No way.
How did the invoice look?
Well, you know, it's the first invoice, so you're like, yes.
Yeah. All right, that was your hobby. First batch, yeah, of money that was coming into your pocket.
Yeah.
Now, you were still in Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
And when did you make your journey to come to South Africa?
Well, I came here to study, and I'm still studying. So that was in 2015, that's when I started studying here. I was doing digital music composition and production.
Okay.
So I'm still in that same space. I'm just sharpening my saw.
Great. So now, when you were in Zimbabwe, you were still in high school.
Yeah.
But still producing.
Yep.
And now, in terms of you progressing and going, I mean, obviously moving up the ladder, was it just producing in your own space at home and you were not doing really much about it? And, you know, such opportunities where they come by accident, like the festival that you were able to produce,
yeah,
something, and it paid off. Is there any other thing that you did while you were in Zimbabwe that actually, you know, you saw yourself, you know what, actually this thing is moving?
Well, yeah, you have to put your music out there, first of all, because most of the time I would spin my music and then just play it to my friends, and it's cool, we play it in the car, we keep it moving like that. But then when I started actually putting it out there for people to listen, that's when people started noticing what I do. And for me, I was like a best kept secret for a long time.
Sure.
So I had to put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I got most of these opportunities. People, when they noticed, like, oh, this guy does this.
Mm.
And then they were like, oh, can we work with you? And I'm like, ah, yeah, sure.
You must have been very aggressive. Because it's very difficult. There's a lot of producers that try to put themselves out there but don't get recognition. You know, and I think, you know, when they say when stars align, look, there's nothing you can do. When God says yes, nobody can say no.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those situations with yourself. But now, I'm interested to know, when you came to South Africa, what are some of the, did you face any challenges? And if you did, what are some of the challenges that you faced when you, I mean, you're coming into another country, you're a, yeah, producer. I know that probably you had risen a certain level of a profile while you were in Zimbabwe, but when you're in South Africa, there's a different ball game.
Yeah.
What are some of the your tactics that you applied to try and, you know, get into the game again?
Well, the biggest thing for me has always been consistency. I always try to put in 10,000 hours. Like, I know things don't happen overnight, but I know with consistency, everything, like, all your efforts will compound, and at some point, it's like a rule of nature for me.
Sure.
At some point, you will meet that opportunity. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is to be prepared for that opportunity. Awesome. Otherwise, it will happen. Mm-hmm. If you keep on moving one step at a time, it will, yeah, happen. So for me, the challenge is just, you know, everyday challenges, everyone faces them. But
sure,
for me, I just keep on pushing,
yeah,
until I know at some point,
awesome,
nothing is forever.
Great. We've got to actually delve deeper into some of the achievements and things that you actually, that you have done, and, yeah, that are awesome. You know, I think I was actually going something, coming across something. Actually, there was quite a battle between La Cizwe and Pearl Tusi on social media. Mm-hmm. And it was this whole comment about, they commented about, obviously there was that Global Citizen concert, and yeah, Beyonce posted a video with DJ Maphorisa song as a backtrack.
Yeah.
And obviously they were commenting on that and stuff. And one of the comments was that we only wait until international artists actually affirm certain things about South African artists or local artists for us to appreciate them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you are actually one of the people, the young people that are doing great things in the country and in Africa.
Thanks,
and
man,
that we're going to speak about just now. I'm just going to move over to Jane Tabete, another musician, young lady, who's a hustler, and someone that's really great and talented. Jane Tabete, tell us a bit more about yourself. Where are you from?
Born and bred in Pretoria, Tembisa, Ekubeni,
mm-hmm,
to Mamelodi West, to Atteridgeville.
All right. Can you repeat that?
I was born and bred in Pretoria.
Yes.
Lived in Tembisa Kubeni. Moved to Mamelodi West. And I currently reside in Atteridgeville.
Where did you spend most of your childhood?
Mamelodi, I guess. But around, just...
Yes,
yeah.
Alright, so you basically more of a Praetorian person.
Yes, I am.
Okay, and now in terms of you growing up in Pretoria, Mamelodi, you say?
Yes.
I know Mamelodi, it's a very musically inclined township.
Absolutely.
Obviously, Pretoria being known as a very base for house music, and a lot of legends have come out of Pretoria per se. I mean, and even Mamelodi right now, when we speak about music within the house genre, within the mapiano, vocalist and all that, we see people like Lady Zamar, etc., etc. We can name a few. Did you at any stage, maybe growing up there, get any motivation from growing up from that environment, you know, as a person that is within the music space?
Well, firstly, I was introduced to music via gospel.
Sure.
So I think I was 8 and I went to my first ever Joya Celebration concert, and that was it. I never stopped singing after that day. I sang every single day, gospel songs every day. And
how old were you back then?
8.
8 years old?
Yeah.
Wow, and okay.
I was introduced to your house music, you know, because our elder cousins and brothers would take us out with them to parks and all of that, and we'd be dancing. Yeah. So that's how I got introduced to house music.
Interesting.
Yeah, and my cousins just all dance, so
yeah,
I just had to fall in some way.
You know, there's something about people that sing. It's interesting that he didn't mention it. I don't know whether he forgot or something, but I think 80%, if not, I mean, I may not be accurate, but the majority of people that sing, they always say they started at church.
It's easier.
Why is it easier?
Because I don't know, they just give you this thing that you can do it.
The basics.
Because if they're singing in the choir and you want to join in, tomorrow I feel like just going above everyone, and that's how it just went about.
Yeah.
I still sing in the church choir, so.
So now tell me, because I mean, there's a certain level where there's a conflict, and I'm asking this just to just pick on your brain. Because, you know, some church people are very conservative. They say, you know, when you sing in gospel, you need to stick within gospel. You know, because when you're delving deeper into the other genres, you know, you start redirecting your faith into things that are not related to church. How did you find that, and how did you balance that, and how are you balancing it since you say that you still sing in the choir?
Well, when I'm singing with my church choir, it's a whole lot different because of the church I'm in. So I do not, it's not like I moved from that Jane. I'm still the same Jane at church, and I'm a whole lot different when I'm in studio doing house music, and they do support it also.
Mm-hmm.
They do listen to it, and they don't judge me as per se. So when it comes to gospel, I haven't changed. Still, old traditional hymns.
Is it?
Mm.
Awesome. And what church do you go to?
ZCC.
ZCC. Mm-hmm. Awesome. In terms of your music, are you more of a vocalist, or are you a full-on artist whereby you know, obviously, okay, you guys may school me in terms of the music. Maybe I'm saying certain things wrong here. Being a vocalist and being an actually full-on artist, is there a difference, or is it the same thing?
A lot of people say it's different. Because
okay.
There are some people call themselves just vocals.
Sure.
Vocalists, and then there are people who are artists, musicians.
Mm-hmm.
From what I've heard.
Sure.
So I'm trying to be a full-on artist musician.
Mm-hmm.
As in, I'm also trying to learn instruments. I want to literally be a whole performer on stage.
Sure.
And not just stand and just give you my voice. Mm-hmm. I want you to give everything on stage and leave it there. That's what I'm trying to work on.
Like the people, the likes of Alicia Keys.
Like your Alicia Keys.
Yeah.
Your Adele's. Your, mm-hmm. There's a lot.
Awesome. Now, in terms of your music journey and singing, you know, is it something that you've always done by yourself, or there are people that you met along the way that actually held you by the hand, you know, gave you exposure, you know, either invited you to other concerts for you to learn more? How did you manage to sharpen your skill and your talent as you moved along to until you are where you are today?
Most of the time I was alone. I was one of those people who just sing in the house, and I would practice. If I'm listening to a Whitney Houston song and she goes up, I want to go up with her every single day until I get it right. So I was already I had already worked on my voice, and then that's when I met Ginny Boy, DJ Ginny Boy, who's also a part of my church, met him at church, and I think I was in grade 7, and he says to me, no, you know what, you can actually really, really sing. Let's put you in studio and see what you can do. And he was giving me hip-hop beats, and I was writing, and I was writing. So I'm a poet, and
awesome.
A writer as well.
Sure.
So I decided, you know what, let me see what I can do on hip-hop beats. And then the more I listened and the more I wrote for hip-hop, I realized I like writing for hip-hop, but it's not something that I want to do as a person. And when Ginny Boy then took me and made me meet Mapentan from Attridgeville, and that was it for me. He introduced me to music, and he was then going by DJ Casano, and I never stopped. Was introduced to house music, and here I am.
Very interesting. And now, is there any clash in being a vocalist or a singer, whereby you're still learning how to perfect the skill of being a singer in terms of being able to sing? Like you say, you at some stage someone threw a hip hop beat. I mean, as a female, I would imagine that also you probably are inclined within the R&B space and then with house music. What are the challenges between those? I'm just interested to know in terms of how you manage to, you know, your headspace and being able to jump and be diverse. Because some people, as I said, some people that like singing gospel music, if you put them in hip-hop or R&B, they'll find it difficult. In terms of yourself, how do you diversify yourself and being able to navigate your skills in that way?
For me, it's not really that difficult because I literally sit down and connect with the beat first. It doesn't matter. You can bring me gospel, rock music, anything. I need to connect with the beat first, and then I will write.
Sure.
It's always the case. So if you bring me a hip-hop beat that I'm not feeling, I'm not going to do it. But if you bring me a hip-hop beat that I really can, I think I can throw myself in and do something,
look,
I
man,
do it.
On your left-hand side, you're literally sitting with a producer. And I can tell you that guy is amazing. He can produce something from scratch. And one of the notable things that I can mention, I think I did say to his brother that's in the studio with us, Tendai, and I said to him, I actually saw you on one of the SABC1 producing shows called Ones and Twos. He was one of the guys that commented on some of the stuff that the people actually were doing. Which, you know, it says a lot in terms of your caliber and your ability and your recognition. In terms of yourself and production, where do you start to even begin to string together beats and finally getting a song or a whole track worthy of a beat?
It all depends with who I am, what kind of headspace I'm in. Sometimes I can literally wake up with a melody in my head, and then I'll start programming from there. Sometimes I just hear something on the road and I'm like, wow, that's a cool sound.
Mm-hmm.
Start programming from there. Sometimes I don't have anything in my mind. I just sit there, start doodling and playing around, and then that's how ideas come. So it all depends with what situation, what do I have to do in a specific situation that inspires a beat.
Let's be more specific. In terms of what genre do you, or particularly, specialize in, and which other genres can you actually produce? Because I'm aware that you're multi-talented.
So I like to say that I specialize in electronic dance music, but if you check throughout this whole year, I've just been producing like pop, afro beats, and all other genres that have nothing to do with electronic dance music. But myself, when I make my music for my satisfaction,
mm-hmm.
it's mostly electronic dance music, but I'm all across the board.
Yeah. Okay, right. And now, in terms of the music that really began to raise your profile and have you join some of the noteworthy music companies that, I mean, every producer wishes. I mean, at the young age that you are, there's certain things that you've done and that you are doing that there's producers that have been producing for years and wait until certain competitions for them to get recognition, to be part of. Which are those companies? Because I don't want to say it. I want you to say it yourself. Which are those companies, and how's the journey been for, I mean, within your production space?
It's okay. I can't complain, man. Like I said, everything takes time.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about 10,000 hours into your work. So what I make sure that I do is that I'm always prepared. every time I get so annoyed if I don't feel prepared. So every time for anything that I do, I need to feel prepared.
Sure.
So I always spend my time sharpening the saw,
100%.
Increasing the skill that I can, whatever I have to do, just to make sure when the time comes, mm-hmm. I am full on there, I'm prepared and ready to go.
You know, there's a very powerful thing that you're actually mentioning right there, whereby they always say that, you know, it's a life thing. You will never be able to get what you want or that you've been aiming for when you are not prepared.
Yeah.
So in other words, when something doesn't really work out at the time at which you want it to work out, the possible message is that you need to prepare yourself so that you are ready.
Yeah.
So the fact that you mentioned that you're always sharpening your skills, you're always doing something that's going to make sure that you are at your A game.
Yeah.
It shows that you are preparing for yourself for any kind of opportunity that may come that will make sure that it puts you to the top.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that we can pick up as young people, that we always need to be consistent, because that thing needs a lot of consistency, a lot of dedication, a lot of mental focus.
Yeah.
And again, at the same time, you will most of the time when you actually in that space, you find that you end up being a lonely person. You end up being a weird person. People don't understand.
Yeah.
Because your vision and where you see yourself and what you want to do, other people may not understand. Even your own family members.
Yeah.
At least maybe people that you work with, you know, they will actually understand, because they're part of the journey. And it's actually very powerful. I need you to just mention some of the major accolades that you've managed to achieve over your time that you've been a producer.
Well,
who are some of the people that you've worked with?
Well, let me just mention from this year.
Sure.
Really. This year I've managed to do a production music album for EMI UK. I did it with Neil Solomon, which is like one of the best composers in SA right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also done my second season, or actually third season,
sure,
of Coke Studios as a resident producer. And I also was invited for Nando's Music Exchange in the UK as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I've done the Danike, the new single, The Things We Do. I produced that.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's what I can think of from the top of my head right now.
My brother, you're doing great stuff. You're doing great stuff. And I'm sure, hopefully, the lady that's sitting next to you, Jane, will probably have some talks, you know, I don't know, maybe somewhere along the line.
It's all good. It's all good, man.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Jane, in terms of your musical journey and where you are right now, what are some of the highlights that you've managed to come across?
Well, mine are not really as big because I'm still working on my music, as per se.
Sure.
But working with Bentel this year was really cool. With the songs that we did, we didn't release them yet.
Is it Pencil, the guy that works with Zingmaster?
Yes, that one.
That's quite... You can't say that it's not... Look, man, you cannot hear this. This guy, that you don't have to mention fact that you're doing such great, because those are people that are noteworthy and are doing such a major difference within the country in terms of music.
That's true, but I feel like we all have certain goals for ourselves,
sure,
right? So for me, I want to be known as Jane Tabete,
mm-hmm.
you know, not always associated, because this year I've just been an associated act with a lot of people.
Sure.
Like, including, we did the Bentel's birthday celebration, and I was with him on stage and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was really cool. So now I'm just working on my EP, and I hope it really does well next year.
Sure. Mm. That's really awesome. I'm going to actually fly to my left and come back to the brothers who are more serious, you know. There you will find them in the office with the laptops, you know, trying to strike the next deal, because they want to get those millions, you know what I mean, and drive those Lamborghinis and buy those mansions, you know what I mean. You know, actually mentioning that, Harris,
what's up, man?
And Lebo,
yeah, man.
A lot of people, when you go into the architecture space, they expect that within probably the first year, you strike a deal. Yo, I'm gonna be rolling with the latest Rolls Royce, yeah, Bentley, or convertible, whatever the case, yeah, is. But people are not aware of the hard work that goes behind it. That before you actually start making money, there's a lot of discipline and structure that needs to be put in place. And I'm sure you guys, even where you are, it took a lot of effort and time to make sure that your company,
yeah,
is of an appeal that when you either pitch to whatever business deal that you guys want to strike next, people are impressed and see. I mean, even the way that you guys dress, I mean, I see you're wearing a Beta Architectural Projects shirt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's those small things. Can you just speak about some of the etiquette and detailed things that you guys pay attention to make sure that you guys are outstanding?
Okay. I think one of the biggest thing about our industry is that it's very white dominated industry, you know. So sometimes you have to first start by finding yourself within the industry. You get what I mean? So I think us just finding ourselves was like one of the hardest things to do, you know. So then eventually as we grew, we got to meet up with some very influential guys, you know. Some guys that we currently look up to, you know, that they always make sure that they put us on, you know what I mean, and they guide us where they can. So yeah, I think that's one of the things that have helped us to get to where we are right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And in terms of your working relationship, and I'm sure there's certain things that Lebo is strong at and certain things that you are not strong at. How do you guys balance the two?
We work it out, man, because at the end of the day, we're a team. Because if I flop, he flops.
Yeah.
He flops, I flop.
Yeah, yeah.
So whatever I can handle, I handle. Yeah. I make sure I do it.
Yeah. And also whatever because, interrupt you. And also because, like, we're too different, me and this guy, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of strengths that he has that I lack, you know what I mean? And there's a lot of strengths that I have personally.
Sure.
So whenever we come together, it just
combo. Definitely.
Yeah, it's like we go full circle. You know what I mean? So yeah.
Just to put you on the spot, what are some of the just two strengths that you have and two strengths that you have that he doesn't have?
Okay, I don't know. I think I'm the more talkative one.
Sure.
So I feel like obviously sometimes that's a really tough question. I don't know, man. I feel like sometimes maybe people tend to relate to me more because I'm the one who tends to be a bit more talkative.
Sure.
And he's more, you know, he's a chilled guy.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I mean?
Mm.
And also in the workspace, he tends to be maybe a bit more focused than me at times. You know,
sure.
Sometimes I just...
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's a strength that he has, you know. So sometimes he pulls me back like, yo bro, let's do this, you know what I mean?
Awesome.
So yeah, I think that's one or two.
All right, cool. Now I want to talk a little bit about the money.
Jeez, bro.
Now why the money is that you know, business has to make sense.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes people go into business without necessarily doing proper research or schooled properly in terms of the industry that they fall into.
Yeah.
In terms of you guys, what are some of the lows and losses that you guys have actually gone through in the journey that you've been in? Because I know that a lot of people, there's a certain point where as a business person, you lose money.
Yeah, true.
And then you have to recover from that. So what are some of your guys' lows?
Let me just add on to what you said right now. I feel like... the government, the educational system, has to actually introduce financial literacy.
Yeah.
On top of the subjects that we're doing, because we got it very hard at first. You know, when we got our first client, the money was there.
Awesome.
You're not used to that type of money getting into your account and all that.
Mm.
So we made bad choices in terms of how to spend that money. But as time went by, you get to realize, no, man, this is how we actually have to strategize our money and moving forward.
Yeah.
So I feel like having that right financial background in terms of education really helps you moving forward in terms of, they might give us both $50, but we will spend it in a different way.
And so also, we learn so much from the people around us, you know what I mean? Like, obviously, there's people that have done what we're doing,
sure.
You know, even if it's not in the architectural industry, in something else, you know what I mean? We always go to them for advice, you know. I know from my side personally, my father plays a very huge role, you know what I mean? Even when I argue with a client, I still go to him and be like, yo, hey, there's this guy, man, you know. So I sit with him and he tells me, he's like, yo, man, this is how you behave as a man, this is how you handle yourself, you know. So I think, personally, I think my father plays a huge role in terms of me personally and like managing my finances in a proper way, you know.
Who plays a huge role in your life?
Yeah.
My parents, of course.
Yeah.
Because, well, they were there from the start till now.
Mm.
And obviously myself, man, because I have to be responsible for anything that I do.
Sure.
So if I flop, it means that it's on me and it's never on someone else. So every decision that I make is based on what I think about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, obviously the people around you are very influential in terms of who you're gonna be in the next 5 years.
True.
There's this thing, they say that show me your friends and I'll show you your future.
Yeah, sure.
That thing is very, very, very true, man.
Yeah.
Surround yourself with people that are really good for your health in terms of your spiritual life, your financial life, your health, your relationships, how do you move, how do you act, how you dress up, how you smell. Those type of things really put you on that pedestal of who you're going to be in the next 5 years,
mm-hmm.
or something like that, yeah.
Right. Now, in terms of business, a lot of people come across people that crook them, and people promise you the world. They say they're gonna do 1, 2, and 3, and they don't do it. And sometimes people find themselves broke, where their bank balance is zero.
Yeah.
Did you guys come across any of those kind of situations?
A lot of them. Yeah, we have, obviously.
And how did you recover?
I think one thing that me and this guy have in common is that, like, we peacemakers, you know what I mean? So whenever something like that happens, we always go back and sit down, you know what I mean? And we obviously understand that our journey was made by God, you know what I mean? So we always sit and be like, you know what, it's fine, bruh, he did this and this and this, let's forgive him and move forward,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? And every time that happens, we always come back like 10 times stronger, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Then obviously in a couple of months, same people will call you back and be like, yo, dude, you know? Mm-hmm. So I feel like you just forgive and move forward, man.
Also, just to add on to that, as an entrepreneur, you never fail.
Yeah.
You just always have problems to solve.
Yeah.
So if you fail with this one, that's a problem. You get to solve it, then you move on. So you become stronger at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's important to always, like, I'm one person that I don't like problems, you know. So whenever someone presents problems to me, I want solutions. So immediately you tell me, yo, Harris, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. After you're done, I forgot about what you said. I'm trying to find a solution, you know.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's what always helps me get up and go. I mean, you would know that. I like solutions. I'm just one person. Yeah. I like solutions. Yeah.
All right, cool. Talking about business, and a lot of the times people think that business is just formal. You have a suit and tie.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, as time goes by and time revolves, and we're living in 2018 now.
Bruh.
And fortunately, and as time goes by, we learn so many things about different spaces and how they can revolve.
True.
Now, as I speak to you guys, it sounds like when I talk business, I only have to speak about you guys who are within Architect.
Yeah.
And I know that for sure.
Yeah.
That if you're a musician, whether you're a producer, you are a musician, you singer, you are business yourself. You have to it's one of those things that when you either within the media space, you're a DJ, you're a producer, you're a singer, anything, you are business. And that is how it actually operates this in these days. And you find that a lot of even artists, they actually prefer to be independent and not signed under a label in order for them to make more music or more money and get themselves more out there, because there's this tendency that music labels, they kind of limit and they control you. Therefore, you don't have freedom to do what you want. Let me just start with Jane. In terms of yourself, where do you see yourself positioning yourself within the media space as seeing yourself as a business?
Well, I obviously want to be an independent artist. I am for now.
Sure.
Maybe one day I'll decide to be signed. It all depends on what the contract says,
mm-hmm.
but for now I really just want to be independent, do my own things,
mm-hmm.
write music for other musicians. That's business as well.
Sure.
Write music for other musicians, work and collaborate with others. That's where I'm at.
Alright, is there anybody that taught you how to read a contract? Because those are some of the things that, you know, musicians have had problems for years.
I have a really good team by my side.
Yeah.
You know, so they help me with that. They really help me with that.
That's
and
awesome.
My parents as well. They're very active.
Sure. Now, I do know that when it comes to producing, you know, the producing side of things, you can make so much money. You know, especially when you carry yourself as a business. We see some people that are making crazy money whereby their music is being heard and being played among some of the best musicians in the country. Yeah. Yourself, young DLC, what are some of the things that you make sure are correct for yourself to put yourself across as a musician? Because you don't want people just to see a young guy, you know, that's just chilled, that's a student, you know, and they're probably going to undermine you. But now it's up to you to make sure that you give off the right impression and an impression that is respectable. What do you do to make sure that is on point?
Well, I just finished studying music business as the whole, because I understood at a very young age that this thing is not just talent. Most of it, talent is like 10-20%. Most of it is 80% is business.
Sure.
People are there to get money. It's either money coming in or money coming out.
Yeah.
So that's all people want. So I focused on my energy on learning the business side.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I'm like a pro, but I understand right now what I have to get into a contract, or if I'm getting into a contract, what I want to get out of it. I understand that and how I can negotiate to get something where we're like, okay, now we're happy, let's move on and let's sign this thing. So for me, I would say reading books. Yeah, that's my one of my biggest hobbies. Like, I do that every day. I read. I try to just learn more every time. Yeah,
that's great. Now, in terms of, you're actually running out of time and you're reaching the end of the show, I'm just going to quickly skim through everyone just to ask pretty much a common question. Within the next couple of years, let's say, if you want to call it a short term or long term, next 5 years, where do you see yourself?
Where I see myself in the next 5 years? Tomorrowland, man. Playing at Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll try Tomorrowland. Yeah, I'll
you said playing at Tomorrowland.
Yeah, DJing there.
All right, that's DJing.
Mm.
In terms of production?
Production, that will be on the big stage. I'm playing my own music.
Awesome.
I'm not DJing someone else's music. I'm playing what I produced.
That's great. It's unfortunate that we couldn't actually play something from your side, but I really would like you to share your platforms that where people can actually get your music and listen to what you produce.
Yeah, my music is everywhere. Spotify, iTunes, every platform on Young DLC 96. That's the same with all social media platforms, Young DLC 96.
So,
yeah, you can just search it and then you'll find it, or just Google it, Young DLC 96, you'll find it.
And that's the similar handles in terms of your social media.
Yeah, everything is Young DLC 96.
All right, cool. When it comes to Jane, in the next 3 to 4, 5 years, where do you see yourself?
I see myself not only as a musician but as a businesswoman, and yeah, I want to work with big names in the industry, put my name out there. Hopefully one day, life at the Apollo Theatre.
Yeah? Awesome. And now, quick question before I move on. Who do you look up to currently within the music space, female?
Shekana.
Why Shekana?
She has literally bought her own sound and put it on the platform for us to just listen to and love it.
Sure.
She doesn't do something that anyone else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we love her for it. She has an amazing voice, beautiful style.
And now Shekana is within the R&B hip hop genre.
Pop, yes.
That's interesting. And you within house?
For now. For now.
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm open to different genres, and I'm working maybe on indie, pop. So, yeah.
Is it?
Mm.
That's awesome. Now, in terms of your music and what you do, where can people get your stuff?
Social media, Jane Tabete. I have a couple of tracks on iTunes, Spotify. Yeah, featuring Benta, but it's Jane Tabete everywhere. Jane Tabete.
That's awesome. Right, I'm coming across to my brothers on my left. Guys, within the business world, we know that it's a rough one and it's never an easy one. Within the next 3 to 4, 5 years, where do you guys see yourself with your firm?
Oh, with the firm.
Mm.
Let me start off by
business wise in general. I mean,
yes, obviously we both want to see ourselves driving those Lamborghinis and all that. But the biggest point I want to actually try and point out is that you can dream as much as you can, but if you're not making moves or implementation towards the goal, then it's kind of pointless for you to do it.
Yeah.
So obviously, man, we'd want to see our firm as big as bigger than it is right now, having to empower more people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if Harris wants to add on to that.
Yeah, sure. I would like that. I think what you're asking, it's a very exciting question for me. You know, I think personally, as a man, I would like to just see myself grow more into being a family man. You know, probably in the next 5 years, just settling down. You know, and as a business person, man, I just want to be as big as I can become, you know what I mean? So we just recently started a construction company, me and a dude. Yeah. It's called BAP Construction. So we already did a couple of projects. Right now we're building a nightclub in Brits. So that's one of our new babies. You know, I hope next year it blossoms and it becomes really big. And we also branched out into interior designing, you know, so we just got a couple of juniors on board right now. So yeah, pretty much, yeah, next year the sky's the limit. We just want to go in and hard, man, you know.
Lebza,
I mean,
any family in the pipelines anytime soon?
Yeah, of course, man. I mean, what kind of a man do you want to be if you're not planning on doing that, you
yeah
know? But yeah, obviously, individually, I also want to see myself on that pedestal, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, the pekinini is there, you know, around, you know. Yeah. But yeah, that's the biggest goal is going further than that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Guys, sure. In terms of your stuff, I mean, where people can check out your stuff, because I know that as much as you're in business, there's also an element where you need to put yourself out there. Yeah. Where can people check out your stuff?
So social media, Facebook, Better Architectural Project, Twitter, Harris_Malavela, Instagram, Better Architectural Project, Harris_Malavela, or www.betterarchitects.co.za. Yeah, so that's where we can...
All right,
get at us, yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool. Thank you so much, guys, for coming to the show.
Big ups,
it's been
man.
A really great pleasure.
Yeah,
Young DLC, Jane Tabete, Lebo, and Harris.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, guys. It's been
thank
a really great pleasure.
Us,
it's been
man.
A very
thank
motivational
you,
show.
Yeah.
Thank you to everybody that's been tuning in. It's my name is Sbokuzi. You can chat me on @Sbokuzi on social media, on Instagram and Twitter. It's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much, and I wish everybody a great Christmas and a fantastic New Year. See you guys on the other side.
This is CliffCentral.com.